It's summertime, and the living is easy. The fish are jumping. 30 years ago, when we were picking out light fixtures, I asked one of the manufacturers, where are some light fixtures that, I can literally look at? So they sent us to a little denominational church in Green Bay, and they actually have these light fixtures in that church. And I got to talk to the pastor, and I said, well, how is your summer going to be? This is, I think, in about May. And he said, well, we canceled pretty much everything. No Sunday school, no choir practice. We make our services shorter because, well, it's summertime and people just won't come. And I remember driving home so grieved to think that God is shortchanged because of our pleasures. Not too many barbecues in January. Does God just get the cold months? And that's what happens, become a cold church, because we put aside God for us. We have a very special guest here this morning. If you would welcome him, Jesus. He said, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, I'm coming. I'm coming. I don't care if there's four people, I'm going to be there right in the midst of you. You see, it wasn't a crowd at Calvary, but I'll tell you, there's going to be a crowd at the rapture of God's people. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I'm glad my wife didn't force me to come to church this morning. Amen. She can be mean, but I said, I'll go. I'll go. First Peter 2 and 12. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers. It's happened to me, actually. They may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. And then if you turn to Psalms, chapter 110, verse number 3, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. In the beauty of holiness from the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. And then if you'll turn to Job, chapter 10, verse number 3. I'm sorry, verse number 12. Thou hast granted me life and favor. That's us, church. And thy visitation, God's visitation, hath preserved my spirit. Because he manifests himself in this place this morning. He has preserved your spirit and allowed you to continue to live for God because he visited me. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for your word. God, we need you in this place so desperately. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I said yesterday morning at prayer, every time we have a visitation from God, it preserves our spirit or closeness with God. Nothing else does it, folks. It's not just prayer. It's not memorizing. Every time we walk into church, we are loaded down with a whole lot of benefits that many times we don't understand. Every time we walk in here, we realize while we're here, there's some benefit because of His touching us, but there are some things that we don't realize until maybe later on because we were here. Please don't underestimate the value of being in church. Don't underestimate how important it is to gather ourselves. We are standing on holy ground, and there are angels all around. Amen. It isn't the same as viewing our services online. Hebrews 10 and 25 says, we are to gather ourselves together so much more when we see the day approaching. I'll tell you what, when we're living in a day where a man doesn't know if he's a man or a woman, we're in the last time, folks. When people accept those kind of concepts, we're in the very last times. To me, the greatest part of being apostolic is beyond having truth, and that is so important. But it is a divine visitation of God. God manifesting Himself in our presence that only happened to the high priest in the Old Testament. It didn't happen in the denominational church that I was raised in. I never felt the power and presence of God. No, I didn't have truth, but I didn't have something that revived me on a regular basis. Isaiah had a divine visitation from God when he was at the lowest point in his entire life, and it changed him forever. That first visitation I had when I walked into a Pentecostal church and I felt the Shekinah glory of God touching me, causing me to weep in His presence, it changed me. It caused me to be someone I wasn't before. If you turn to Isaiah chapter 6, very familiar scripture, starting in verse number 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain He covered His face. With twain He covered His feet. And with twain He did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory or presence. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of Him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off of the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. It changed him. His visitation from God changed his attitude. Now, I don't look for gratitude or accolades from people, because that could ruin me. Too many have said, I love you, Pastor, and later just walked away. But he said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'll visit you anytime you want. Just call on me and I'll be there. But I do long for the manifestation of God, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning, according to James 1 and 17. He's not going to change his mind. The gift and calling of God is not with repentance. You see, if I had to. I could live for God just based on the knowledge that I have in Scripture. I recognize that I have to be faithful. I recognize that baptism and the Holy Ghost are essential. I know this way is right, and I'll live it out of the obedience to God's word. And if he never touches me again, I'm still going to live for him until the trumpet sounds. But church, we don't have to live just out of facts. We live out of emotion. Our God is an emotional God. Hallelujah. And every time we walk into this place, God wants to interact with us. He wants to touch us and change us and encourage us and strengthen us. Something just as powerful is available to us every day. God's emotion towards us, allowing us to feel his presence. Psalms 16 and 11, it's so powerful. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forever. It's not the boat, it's not the car, it's not the house, it's not the relationship that'll fulfill your life. Distractions. Benefits God allows us to have, but not replacements. Turn to Acts, the second chapter. You've been there before. Acts chapter 2 and verse 28. We skip over some of these scriptures because we go right to 38 and 39. 28 says, thou hast made known unto me the ways of life. Oh, you have, God. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance or thy presence. I am so happy. I am so content. I am so full of joy because the God of heaven reached down and touched me. You know, when you get to that place where you're so involved in the presence of God, you can honestly say, I don't need anything else. Just you, God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We have all had our divine visitations from God, and we could go around this morning, and there are so many stories of how God touched you. And once you've felt that power and presence of God, well, you just want more. It's addicting. And sometimes God won't touch us. Nevertheless, his presence is there. And sometimes we relegate that, well, he must be angry at me. That's not it. Sometimes we just have to grow without the touchy-feely thing, but it sure is nice to have the touchy-feely thing going on in every one of our church services. Yes, we can have church without it. I've been in a few of those services, and I don't want to go back. People working up each other to try to duplicate what God can do in one breath. Hallelujah. I've been in those services where somebody from the pulpit says, come on, let's worship God, let's clap our hands. And God doesn't respond to that because that's just something that's hyped up, but we need to have a genuine move of God's Spirit that starts in the heart, you see. Hallelujah. It scares me to think that we can have church without his presence. Now, it's not like God has to travel long ways from heaven in order to touch us. God is all around us, and he's there all of the time. The question is, will he make himself known to us? With his touch, with his healing, with his power. And I really believe God wants, he has a desire to touch us. When you love somebody, it's not enough just to talk long distance. Some of you young people understand what I'm talking about. Somehow, you know. I just, before we were married, I had to talk to her all of the time. Can I see you? Well, I'm busy. Maybe just for 15 minutes. Could we get that relationship with God? I know there's no church tonight, but could we just have a little bit of time together? A divine visitation of God could happen at any time. I remember being in Jerusalem in 1980, and there was just some outstanding preaching. And there is one little guy from Ethiopia, and right in the middle of the preaching, he would just get out in the aisle and start dancing before the Lord, and God would just touch him. It wasn't worship. It was just that he was so overwhelmed in love with God that he had to somehow express his feeling towards that. You know, it's a burning bush in the middle of the desert talking to Moses. It's a frightened Gideon that's hiding behind a mill, and all of a sudden an angel appears. It's an Isaiah mourning over the death of an earthly king, only to see the heavenly king high and lifted up. Sometimes at your lowest point, you see God at his highest point. It's a bright light from heaven on a road to Damascus, and Paul was never the same again. Yet Paul so valued the experience and the presence of God that he got to a place where he went to the third heaven and heard things that were unspeakable because he desired, I want to feel that one more time, God. It's not just a one-time experience when you got the Holy Ghost. It's just a doorway for greater opportunities to be in the presence of God. You see, if we have a visitation from God, we then suspend the law of nature. All of a sudden, the miraculous happens when we get into his presence and we experience healing and miracles and the power of God that overrules this world and all of this world's limitation. Because God touched you, now we have access to miracles. I think subconsciously we relegate miracles and great wonders of God back to the day when Jesus and his apostles walked the earth. I know that's what denominational churches do. They don't feel like they can feel. They just don't understand how intimate God wants to be with each and every one of us. And I believed in God all my life, but I never thought he would be that close, that interested in me, and touch me. Hallelujah. And if that happened 45 years ago, it'll happen today. And I know him even better. I understand his word. I have compiled all kinds of experiences with him. And that should make it easier to enter into his throne room, you see. But we are still the church. We're still apostolics, are we not? Are we not living in the last days when God said he would pour out his spirit? Well, where is he pouring his spirit out? He's pouring his spirit upon us, upon the flesh. I'm not waiting for God to make a move. God's waiting for us to make a move. It's the only reason we don't feel the presence of God is because we're waiting for him to make the move when our responsibility is to make the move first. The expression, the day of visitation, is found a number of times in the Old Testament and also in the New Testament. The word visitation literally means an inspection. As a shepherd would inspect a sheep, or as a general would inspect the army that he's in charge of, Job recognized that God came to inspect him on that particular day in Job, the first chapter. God was able, after the inspection of him, to say to the devil in Job 1 and 8, "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" I've just inspected him. I know his heart. I know his feelings. I know his determination to live for me. "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" And then in chapter 10 and 12, it says, "Thou hast granted me life and favor, and thy visitation hath preserved my life, my spirit." Hallelujah. I don't know if you could relegate that to it, because you felt the presence of God, perhaps on Wednesday or Thursday or Friday of this week, God saves your life. Could that be? Hallelujah. I remember my son being in a horrible accident years ago, and I got to the scene just shortly after the accident, and the sheriff handed me his Bible and says, "This probably saved his life." I wonder how many times God has saved our life just because we had a visitation from him. See, this isn't just tradition. This isn't just something we do. It saves us, folks. There's a temptation coming up this week, but I'm going to be okay because I had a visitation from God, you see. It's saving me. Hallelujah. It preserves us. Could it be that every time God manifests himself to us, preserves us spiritually? And if we don't have that visitation, are we more vulnerable not to live for him? He knows what he's doing, folks. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory or presence to presence, even by the Spirit of the Lord." So we are changed by the presence of God, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. I need changing every once in a while. Because there's things that creep into my life. And God says, "Well, we have to change that again and again." And the only way that can happen is for you to get into the Shekinah glory of God. When the high priest went into the holiest of holies, they came out and their face was shining. When Moses went up to the mountain for 40 days, all of a sudden, people couldn't even look at his face because he was so energized and spiritualized by the presence of God. Hallelujah. Do we realize that as we gather ourselves together for church services, we are under inspection from heaven? Every one of us. I spent 6 years going through inspection in the Army, standing there waiting for someone to look at me and say, "Okay, you're all right," or, "No, you have to change some things in your life." You knew there was going to be consequences if, the buttons weren't buttoned and, well, a lot of other things. I want to be ready for his inspection. I want to feel his touch, his approval on me. Every time I walk in here, you see, it happens long before we walk into service. Amen. But I must make myself ready for the inspection. If you'll turn to Revelation 19th chapter. This is the first glimpse we have of us being in heaven. Talk about a prophecy. Talk about foreknowledge. I'm in this scripture. You're in this scripture. And in Revelation chapter 19, Verse number 19, it says, "And I saw the beast of the kings of the earth, and let's start at verse number 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready." Inspection. "And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is what? Righteousness, the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God." If we go back to verse number 6, this is just before the inspection. It says, "And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth, and let us be glad." You see, so we have a worship service before the inspection. Hallelujah. So the worship service can help us pass the inspection, if you will. Okay, God, I want it to be right between us, you see. It's important. You see, when God comes to us in the day of visitation, his Spirit brings transformation like nothing else. If you don't hear anything else I've said this morning, understand that we are transformed by a manifestation of his Spirit in us. And when we're filled with the Holy Ghost, our lives were transformed, but it's not supposed to stop there, because we're ever transforming. We're having a transition every time we're in his presence. We have little transformations every time we feel his presence, protecting us, causing us to become more spiritual, and not having to fight the fight in order to get to church, in order to do that was right. But when we're feeling the presence of God, all of a sudden, we just naturally want to do the things that please him. Several things happen. Revelation crowds out ego and self after we feel his presence. Situations are unpredictably resolved in our life, and we don't even understand how. Suddenly, doubt disappears, struggles are won, tempers are conquered, habits are broken, and there is a fresh awareness of his presence and how great he is. I have to admit to you, many times when I feel the presence of God, I'm thinking, why? I'm not worthy. Why would you touch me, God, when I'm so far from perfection? What did David say in our scripture text in Psalms 110 and 3? In the day of God's visitation, his people will be willing. They will be clothed in holy attire in his visitation. All of a sudden, your idea of what's right is changed. It's like the man who's in the graves cutting himself, and he's bound in fetters and chains, and he's so miserable. And then God appears to him, and all of a sudden, he finds himself in his right mind and clothed. That's what happens to each of us. Amen. People see God in a new way. We gain a new sense of his greatness. We are seized with a fresh revelation of his holiness, as Isaiah was in Isaiah 6. I see the Lord high and lifted up. I guess I've never seen him like that before, but now I see him differently than I ever saw him before. It doesn't take somebody from a pulpit saying, you've got to do this and you've got to do that. No, when you have a visitation from God, that's not a problem at all. Yes, what do you want, God? I'll do it. Send me. Hallelujah. We get a sense of awe and a depth of worship that overwhelms us. A pastor can say the words, but it is God's presence that motivates people to do what was said. I'll take that under consideration. Not if you visited by God. Right. Hallelujah. In a day of God's visitation, getting to church on time is no problem. God arrests our attention. When God visits us with his presence, gossip is replaced with witnessing. Our talents are dusted off. Our giving becomes hallelujah cheerful. Our witnessing becomes electric. People are stirred. Apathy dies. All because he touched me. Let me feel your spirit one more time. Reassure me, Lord, that I am thine. I will never doubt. You surely brought me out. Let me feel your spirit one more time. He loves me. He cares for me. He's on my side. Nothing. Oh, people can gather around you and pray for you and encourage you. But the moment he touches you, there's a difference, folks. There's a difference, folks. When God visits, we grow keenly aware of his purpose and what he wants from us. Amen. You don't have to ask six people, what do you think about this? When God touches you, it seems like we have a directive from heaven. We're not confused anymore. We then offer ourselves willingly. Calendars are laid aside. Misplaced priorities are found. We cry like Isaiah, here am I, send me. Anybody want a visitation from God this morning? Anybody want to be revived? We have the Spirit of God within us. As Paul says, stir up the gift that is within you. Amen. So how do we receive this divine visitation? Do we send him an invitation? Yeah, that's a good idea. Amen. I don't go to weddings that I don't have an invitation to. Amen. I was given at least 6 to 10 invitations to come to a Pentecostal church, and I denied all of them. Thank God the last one I actually accepted. In most cases, we take the first step, you see. This is not a forced army. This is all a voluntary army, and we're all qualified to be in it. We seek his face in worship. Our worship, not other people's worship. When we come here, it's not to stare at somebody who's worshiping, but get your own game on, you see. We search his word, we wait on God, and we prepare for an inspection. I hope I'm right for you, God. And then there are times when God comes to us when we least expect it. And I think those are the times that I appreciate it the most. I didn't even think about God, and all of a sudden I'm feeling the presence of God. Before we call, before we get to church, when we aren't even thinking about God, he's thinking about us. Look at Isaiah 65 and 24. What an incredible scripture it is. It says in Isaiah 65 and 24, and it shall come to pass that before they call, that's you and me, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Can you imagine? Before I even mouth the words, God has already answered my prayer. Hallelujah. But even then, God answers those who have prepared for him. Noah finds grace when everyone else finds destruction. Jacob wrestles with God because he sent everybody else. I don't care if anybody else wants to pray. I'll tell you what, I'm staying at the altar, even through lunch hour. Everybody else is gone. And said, he stayed at the altar to wrestle with God. Anna and Simeon prepared all their life to be able to see the face of the Messiah before they died, and they did. A little bit of preparation, little preparation before church. We must make room in our lives for his visitation. More important than a trip to the gym, our daily walk, I don't get angry, before your coffee, the only difference between what you feel here and what you feel at home is our laying aside everything for a little while just to focus on God. What makes church so great is that we know we're supposed to focus on God. You get out of the church atmosphere and we're wondering, you know, is this the time? If we prepare a place for God in our day and in our heart, he always shows up. God has never refused an invitation. Just ask him to come, and you will have a visitation from heaven. Years ago, I got a plaque from this congregation that said, if you feed them, they will come. And it's true. You can find the dumpiest restaurant with good food, and people will show up. They'll even show up into a bad neighborhood and risk their life for some good spaghetti. And people will come, not only just for the Word of God. I can't tell you how many times people have brought other people here to get healed because they know there's something special that happens here. It's time for spring cleaning. It's time to clear out the clutter. Focus on a new day. Make room for prayer. They had no room for him at his birth. But church, we need to demonstrate how welcome. How well. Jesus is in the house. We're grateful for our visitors here. But we're even more grateful for a visitation of Jesus Christ every time we open the doors. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me? I guess I could live without it, but I don't want to. Amen. Amen. I've said this a million times before. I remember in our little building, had song service, nothing happened. I simply said, are you satisfied? Or are we going to get a hold of God before we go high? And everyone decided, okay, that was just the practice run. This is the real thing. And we started worshiping, and there was a movement. We never got to the preaching because God was so overwhelmed by our desire to have him touch us. That's all he's looking for. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus, I'm so grateful that you want to interact with us, that you want to touch us, allow us to feel your spirit and confirm that we belong to you. God, don't leave us. Don't allow us to get cold, God. Hallelujah. Visit us in the middle of the night, God. In the middle of our trouble, God. Hallelujah. When we're having a celebration, everything celebrates you, God. Jesus. The altar's open. Would you come?